We are continuing our series on Love Not the World, and there is a chance that we may finish this tonight, maybe, Lord willing. Amen. Let's go to our foundation text, 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 15. First epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15. Lord God, you are in control. Now this thing has worked when we must have hardwired it without a problem. So the Lord is in control. You know he knows how to tell us how to fix it.
Amen.
Amen. So if you ain't gave us a clue right now, then so be it. We just let the Lord be God. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Let him be God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. We have it?
Yes.
Okay. Let's read that together out of the ESV. Three verses, 15, 16, and 17. Everyone have their Bibles in front of them? All right, verse 15 and read. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the Father, is not in him. Thank you. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides how long?
Forever.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. All that is in the world and nothing else beside that. The lust and desires of the flesh, lust and desires and intense cravings of the eyes, and the pride in life's possessions, in Jesus' name. For the 16th year, we're going over, we're still on the lust of the eyes. We talked about that eyesight is a gift from God. Amen. Eyesight is a gift from God. And we are understanding that whenever the God gives us something good, Satan tries to do what?
Pervert it.
He tries to pervert it. And he does pervert it by putting all kind of glittery things in front of us that tempt us to look at, to gaze longingly, not just a quick glance, and that then does not bring God glory. What we saw is now all in our minds. It's flooding our thoughts. We can't shake it. You can't unsee what you've seen. You can't unring a bell. It's a spilled milk thing. It's spilled. You can't, you know what I'm saying? Once it's spilled, it's spilled. You can put, maybe you might be able to scrape it back into there, but that doesn't erase the fact that it's spilled. Yeah. So I said that to say that because of that, we have to purposefully and purposely, deliberately, intentionally make a covenant between the Lord and ourselves concerning our eyes. Remember that from last week.
Yeah.
We must intentionally and purposefully and deliberately make a covenant between ourselves and the Lord concerning our eyes. That means what I would recommend you do is that you literally make a covenant. Lord God Almighty, I covenant with you that my eyes will not behold any worthless thing. I covenant with you a contract between me and you that I will not behold any worthless thing. And if I'm not sure, I'm going to ask you about it. And when you speak to me, then with my whole heart, I will agree. My answer will be, what? Yes, Lord, yes. I agree with you. That's garbage. Turn it off, walk away, shut it up. Do what you got to do. Yes, cousin, auntie, family. Yes, family. Jesus said you must love me more than family, closest relations. You don't have to be indignant when you tell your family members, man, I can't listen to that mess. What's wrong with you? You're like, you know what? That's not my style. My Lord wouldn't be pleased with that. Or have he lead you? And then you walk away gracefully. But we must make that covenant. And I think the reason I recommend you do that out loud and say it out loud is because that puts pressure on you. Like, oh, Lord, I done said it to the Lord. Just like that I do at the altar when you're married, getting married. That's one of the purposes of having them say, I do. Do you take this wife, love her as Christ loved the church? Do you do that? Will you sacrifice for her as Christ did for the church? Will your love sanctify her, cause her to walk closer with the Lord, that she may be presented before the Lord on that day, spotless and holy before him? Do you covenant, husband, to do that? Because you know what, I need a moment. Good. And sit to write yourself down. You go through your interviews. And I pray that when your aunties and your grandma, they don't have a father around, I hope they pray to come to somebody godly like auntie and grandma. Say, you know, I got somebody. I really didn't want to tell you. Because I know y'all hard. You're telling you right. Because we follow that word. That's why. Now bring the brother on in. Bring him on in. Sit him on down. We made an appointment with Joe. An appointment like you do for a job interview. You know, you hear me? We made a job interview appointment. We will see you at Panera Bread at 6:30 on Tuesday, June 18th. And we sat down for 2.5 hours. Amen. Opened up with prayer and then grilled him. We grilled him fine because we about to give him our baby. And he's entrusted to us. And he's entrusting us to do that. Not only for her, so that ultimately he gets the glory. He's not getting glorified. She's getting beat with someone that is not causing her to walk closer to the Lord. And we're responsible partially for that too. Now she's got to let us in. She got to let us in and say, you know, I agree. You know, I want you to interview whoever I bring in. That's what I hope for your nephews and nieces and cousins. Pray that they come to you if they don't have that covering at home. I know a lot do not have it. But God has planted you strategically. Right there. Be led. But it doesn't hurt too early to mention, even to your 10-year-old. Girl, you know what? When you get that age, I need you to know that we need to holler at whoever you're trying to holler at. But we need to holler a lot louder than you need to holler. You feel me? Let them know it's not too early. It's not too early. I'm going to go so far as my charismatic soul to say that's a word. I really am going to say that. Because just about everyone in there has young cousins, aunties, cousins, nieces and nephews, and grands. Plus everybody in here. And if you don't have any of that, you got access to little people. You feel me? And you know by the Holy Ghost who doesn't have a covering. So So I'm saying be led, but offer. Be led, but offer. Hey, and you know how to walk with the work with the parent. You got to honor all of that. I'm going to say be led, because he's going to tell you to talk to, you know. Offer. We're not here for ourselves. It's not about I got mine.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, but I want you to get yours too. Mm-hmm. I want to protect you as well. I don't know how we got over on that. Covenant with the eyes. Oh, covenant. Yeah, we talked about the husband making a covenant at the altar. Yes. So you make a covenant and do it out loud. Let yourself hear it. Here's something scarier. Record yourself making the covenant. Yes. That's a whole different level, don't it? Yes. You let out a deep breath on that. Just, yes, oh. Because then I dare you to replay that covenant when you're acting crazy. If we're talking about really getting stronger with our walk with the Lord, we're really talking about bringing them maximum praise, glory, and honor. These are things we must do because we're so sin sick. We're so prone to just dishonor him at a moment's notice, on a capricious whim, just boom, God, you're in second. And just boom after whatever we our lust desires or whatever our eyes see. Yeah. Samson ain't the only one tripping. That dude was tripping too. He just saw a prostitute. Hey, I'm going in. I'm the leader. Chosen by God. I'm a Nazarite, which in Hebrew means set apart. I don't care about none of that. I done seen this chick. I'm going after her right now. He might have had a southern twang on that. Right now. And then verse 4 says, and then he loved Delilah. Wow, what a girl. He just, what the world? Hey, but that's us. If you're real with yourself, how many times we just went after something? Said something. So you're well, I ain't going after stuff yet, but you may say crazy stuff out your mouth. Especially when you're feeling some type of way. That mouth has gotten us in a lot of trouble. Or you say, well, I'm all right with my saying and my doing, but how about just thinking stuff that ain't right? Ooh, wee. Because he knows every thought. Uh-oh. When did he know every thought?
Before you thought it.
Ooh, how about before the foundation of the world? He knows every thought you already going to think. So you better know he is fully consciously aware of your thoughts. Let's not let the cravings of our flesh, the cravings of our eyes, just drive us away from his glory. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. And so we must make a covenant. Job 31:1, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Lord, we're going to pray. Father, I pray over everyone here under the sound of my voice, that me included, that we covenant with you with our eyes, that we will not look at that which is ungodly, unholy, that is not pleasing to you, that does not bring you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Psalm 101:3 says, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. That's what you can say in your covenant. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Worthless means vile, evil, wicked thing. Anything that causes me to be tempted, that incites me to walk away from the things of God, that allures me to disobey the law of God, I will not set that before me. Remember, before my eyes is equivalent to purposing to do something that is wicked. You see it, you plan it, you go after it. Samson saw the prostitute and went after it. Eve saw the fruit and went after it. Achan saw the gold and he went after it. With horrific consequences. This is the third week on eyes, on eyesight. And I still don't think we're getting it, that because we see all day, every day, anything we want to see at a moment's notice, we can see it. The Lord is trying to tell us, yeah, but you need to be careful what you see. Hear it. 3 weeks. This is the third week. Hear what thus saith the Lord. Lord, let them hear you and not me. Not Greg Harris. But God. He's speaking through me to us. Like, pay attention. Yeah. Eyesight can be good or it can be dangerous. Because once you see it, you can't unsee it. And then you need my strength and my power to get it out your mind. Whatever it is that you weren't supposed to see in the beginning. Right. Hear the Lord this evening. Pay attention to your eyesight. Pay attention, close attention, careful attention, strict attention to what you are seeing. And declare before the Lord, I will set no worthless, vile thing or matter or any that causes me to walk away from your law. I will not put it before my eyes with the purpose to do that which I'm saying. It says, I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. What I'm seeing is not going to fasten its grip on my mind where I'm thinking about it and then pull me into sin. It won't do it. That's a covenant you make before the Lord. Whatever I do see that's ungodly, I will not gaze upon it and keep looking on it until it fastens its grip on me. Me meaning in the mind in particular. Which is going to affect what you say and what you do. Don't let it fasten its grip on you. Something you can't help but see it. But once you see, we're not talking about an incidental glance. Something you can't help but seeing. And in this, the age of nakedness. Who thought yoga pants was a good idea out in the public? My Lord and my God. What a time to be living a righteous life as a Christian. Especially, well, I can't say males anymore. I'm understanding females too. Tight pants, whatever it is. You have to fight. Some of us need a seeing eye dog. Because you just can't look anywhere. If you look up, you're going to walk into a pole. You need a seeing eye dog just to make it from their car to the store. I stay out of malls. I just stay out of malls. I just don't go in malls. I go on the outside door. I don't know why I was in a little semi mall. And sure enough, the probably first one I've been in years. And sure enough, there it was. Oh, here she come. Watch out for it. I'm like, are you sick? First time in a mall in a decade, and hear the same old thing. Just let me turn up and just get out. Where is the seeing eye dog when you need it? Because if you dare to truly walk in the things of God, a lot of things ought to be difficult in a sense. Something you just got to just avoid. Hey man, I paid $10. Go in there and grab my thing out of there. It's in the third store on the right. And you actually bring it back to me, I'll give you another to you. If you don't steal it and run away from it, bring it back to me, go another to you. Do what you gotta do. Make that covenant. That covenant, you gotta keep it. And you ought to want to keep it because you're a child of God. You don't want to dishonor God. And you should go to extreme measures so that you don't violate the law of God. Amen. Bring him dishonor. Are you really saved? If you are, this ought to be your whole life's mission. Mm-hmm. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Life is really simple. Ain't no big old woman. Two things. Love him with everything you got. And secondly, love everybody else with everything you got. That's it. We're going to start one of the greatest series this church has ever heard next Wednesday on loving the Lord your God. It is going to be revolutionary, I'm telling you. Look, like I shook my head for 5 minutes when I heard some things as I was studying this today. I'm like, this is just incredible. It's going to challenge you. Are you giving God lip service? Are you really working on loving Him with all heart, all your soul, all your might, all your strength? And then are you loving your neighbor as yourself? That's the whole duty of man. Preacher said that the whole Bible really comes down to that one verse. I said, this guy is kind of crazy. Kept studying. I'm like, what else? Everything is direction on either loving God or loving man. Ten Commandments. First four, loving God. Last six, loving man. Wow. Get the Old Testament, we think it's law. I'm already getting into next week. That's right, you can hear it again. It's not law, it's love. This is profound. God has a relationship with his people. Once a relationship was established, then he says, okay, this is what I need you to do to enhance this relationship. Here comes the laws. But it's all based on the love. Because in order for us to get along and be loving, this is what I need you to do. Never saw that in my 61 years of going to church. It was first, the relationship was first. God loved them. And then he said, because I love you, I'll tell you this how I want you to act. It's like, just like a child. You know, they're already a child. The relationship is there. Now you look, because you're a heiress, that's how you fold that. It's that kind of thing. You mine. You belong to me. So what I want you to do is, don't have no other gods before me. Don't create no graven idols and don't take my name in vain. And then I want you to love your neighbor by not stealing from them, not coming to their ox or the neighbor or the wife and not telling lies on them. You see, when you love God, you're going to be singly focused. When you love God, you're going to pledge allegiance to him. When you love your neighbor, you won't steal from him, you won't kill him. You follow what I'm saying? So it's all love. It's all love up in here. Yeah. That's a saying out. But it's really true. It's all love. Don't you dare listen. It's gonna shake up the way you see the whole entire Word of God. I mean, the whispers had no idea, but it's a love thing. That's exactly what it is. Some more preview. Realize that in eternity past, who was it? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? In eternity past, nobody else. Remember, angels are created beings. Nobody else, nothing else, no one else is eternal. Only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Notice God is before all of them because God, remember, that is a class of being. That's eternal. They're not human in being. They're not human in nature. They're not animal in nature. They're not angelic in nature. They're God in nature. God is eternal, everlasting, self-sufficient, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good, all-loving. There's only three people that fit into the God class. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no one else there at the time. Nobody else, nothing else existed. Not even darkness even existed. Because darkness is something. Because darkness is the absence of light. Light is something. So not even darkness existed. Try that on for size. In this time here, God the Father loved on his Son. I just love you. and I love you so much, I'm going to give you a gift. And we'll get into all of this next week or in the weeks to come. And that gift that I'm going to give you, my son whom I love, is a redeemed people. I'm going to redeem some folks and I'm going to give them to you. And Jesus' response was, man, but I love you too. So whatever you do and give it to me, that's cool. I want them. Because John 17 in his high priestly prayer, he says, yeah, I want them. But you know what? Once I get them, I'm going to give them right back to you. It's all love up in here. Much love. What the devil has done through secular humanists is try to make this about us humans. No. It's God the Father loving on his son and giving him the gift that happened to be us. Does that make sense? I don't know if you're human. Well, I think we done scrubbed a lot of humanism out of you. I think you can just say amen. Amen. You ain't got to worry about all that. But that's what it is. And Jesus said, yeah, but I love you too. And you know, when you, even though, because God is saying, I want you to have a redeemed people to praise you forever. And Jesus said, yeah, but I love you too. So me and redeemed people, they praising me, but at the same time, we gonna praise you forever. Because that's what I want. It's about love. And then Jesus said, well, I really want them. Then what is he really saying? You know, in order for that to happen, I got to come down and die. Because they can't be redeemed except outside of my death. So I got to go down and die. Meaning, I want to die because that's how much I love you. You got to hear that 9 million other times, but realize that this is a tremendous love story between God the Father and God the Son. Now, secular humanists don't like to hear that. They want to have something to do with that. You don't save yourself. You don't do anything except you are a co-operator, if you will, of the work of sanctification. It's the only part you play. You don't have anything to do with the redemption or the being saved. Forget the first concept of that. But being saved, being declared righteous, yeah, being justified, you have nothing to do with that, because that's when you were born again, and you have nothing to do with being glorified. Nothing to do with that. You have a little something, and we probably mess up more than we... You know what I'm saying? I remember the story about the father digging a ditch, you know, and his son, three-year-old son, was trying to help him out. He was throwing more into the ditch than out, and then he fell into the ditch because he lost balance. Like, son, let me just pick you up, set you way over here, and I'll just dig this ditch by myself. That's what we're doing with God. Oh, let me help you. We done fell in. Like, no. Follow my instruction very slowly. Walk this through. Because it's all about God and him being glorified. Even Jesus saying, I'm going to give him back to you so that I can glorify you along with the gift that you've given me. When I tell you it's all about God, it's all about God, our Father. It's never about us. It's never been about us. Never going to be about us. You know what? And when you grow up enough in Christ, you're like, cool, I ain't got a problem with that. I'm the dad I'm saved. Amen. Hallelujah is right. I ain't been all out and say, well, it ain't about me. How am I going to be I'm just an afterthought. Be glad you're an afterthought. But then you're not. Who's man that he is mindful? Us. You made him a little lower than the angels. His eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open to your prayers. You're not an afterthought. That'll be next week. That'll make your head swim. Because what it'll do is scrub you out of your mind. Anywhere near that first through 49th place, recognize, you know, I don't occupy none of those. Just walk on back to the 98th burner and better than recognize that he occupies all the first 97 of them. It's about him. And really, it'll free you up. Say, Lord, show me how to serve you even more. I'm grateful and I'm part of the gift package to your son. And Lord Jesus, I'm grateful that you died for me to bring the gift package into existence, if you will, in reality, because it was already settled before time began. And I thank you for actually dying on the cross and bringing it into reality. And then I'm going to be amongst that group that you're going to present to the Father. And I'm forever grateful. Help me to live for you. And not for myself. Live for you. Not for myself. Never to compromise your will, your purpose, or your plan. That's what you pray for. Let's be serious about our walk with the Lord. We were chosen from all the people. We were chosen to be his own. We were chosen to be set apart to bring him glory and him alone. And we say to him, receive the glory. Receive the honor. Receive my worship. Receive my praise. Because you're worthy. That's why worship is so terrible. We don't understand any of that. We still got ourselves somewhere near that, in the mix somewhere. Arminianism is not, it's not just a light doctrine. It's a destructive doctrine. Arminianism means that we play a part in our salvation, in a nutshell. Whereas, quote unquote, Calvinism understands we are totally depraved in every area. And if he doesn't do anything, I never get saved. It's all him and none of me. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the grace of God, not of works rather, lest any man should boast. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, not of ourselves, not of works, not of ourselves, or not of anything that we can do. It says it twice. We still think we got something to do with it. It's all grace. It's all Christ. Once we get that, we'll covenant for real. And we'll tell him, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Why? Because I shouldn't see it? Yeah, but that's secondary because it dishonors you. Because every time I sin, that's against thee and thee only. I dishonor you. Oh, Father God, help us to get it. And I don't care about dramatics. I am being dramatic, but it's on purpose. I'm serious up here with this quote-unquote drama. It's serious. Because we're not getting it. I'm not talking about just here Word of Life. We probably got it more than millions of other Christians. But as a whole, we're not getting it. We don't get it yet. We still got our little rockheads thinking that we got some parts to play. Or we are so such a much. That's why he can't hardly do anything through us, because as soon as he do anything through us, we go with the big head. Wow, look what I did. Look, that person got saved. That person, I prayed for that person. Yeah, but you pray to the Lord. Amen. And he chose to hear your prayer and then act on the prayer. And you're going to take some glory at Wiz? I mean, just show me the saxophone that jumps up off the stand and takes the vow. While the musician is taking a bow. But Miles Davis, he was crazy, as I'll get out, but he was a genius too, but he was super crazy. But when he finishes playing the trumpet and he sits that trumpet on the stand, he takes a bow. Maybe I better mention John Coltrane, because Miles just walks off the stage. He just walked on. He didn't care about nothing. He was crazy. So I won't say Miles. Miles may hold a horn or throw it at somebody. They walk off. Let me go with John Coltrane. Coltrane, when he finished, he put the thing down. Take a bow. Who is all this applauding? The musician. I say, oh, look at the trumpet. We're shining. It's no. We're instruments through which the great musician is blowing music through us, supposedly. But our valves are clogged. The reeds are dry. The wicks and all that. Because we got too much going on in our life. We think this is about us. And what the Lord is letting us know through me, not from me, through me to us, it's not about you. It will never be about you. Get over yourself. And the thing about that is, out there keeps telling you the opposite. And if you're letting that be your wisdom rather than this being your wisdom, you're going to keep that fight going. You're going to keep struggling. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. Self-congratulation and self-exaltation and all of that is going to keep robbing you of your joy, your love, and your peace. The legacy that Jesus has left for you, that's what's robbing you. You need to take a look at yourself. Let a man not think more highly of himself than he ought to think. We still struggle with that. That's why when people do things to us, we all been out of shape. Why? Because how dare you? When they beat Jesus, slapped him, he was perfect in all of his ways. He told you the world gonna hate you. And we still, what? Man, I'm part of the gift, and you can't never undo that. Amen. Treat me the way you want to. You cannot undo what my Father has commissioned to do. Yes, ma'am, Miss Phyllis C. In eternity, you can't undo that. That's right, amen. That's why we think. That's why I go over identity first. I'm a child of God. I'm part of the gift. Hallelujah. To Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You've accepted me in that gift package. Now, I don't care what happens down there, red, brown, yellow, black, or white. Whether nothing else ever go right for black people, I tell you what went right, he chose black folks.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And that can never be undone.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You're tripping on the wrong thing. You tripped if Jesus fell off the throne. Then you go, what? Oh, Lord. Now you like Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. You got that right. Now you got problems. Now you might as well eat, drink, and be merry. Because tomorrow we're going to die. It's over. But he has not fallen off the throne. He will never fall off the throne. Once your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's no whiteout, eraser, or anyone else that can remove your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Whatever you tell us to do, we should never balk at it. Never squawk at it. Because you didn't have to even tell it. Save us, even tell us anything. He could have just left us unsaved.
Yes,
and every single command and everything spiritual, we would never get. Because we cannot understand. That's what 1 Corinthians 2 says. That we can't understand it. We don't want to obey it. Romans, we don't want to even think of him in our thinking. He could have left us in that state. How dare we squawk and balk at any command that he tells us?
Amen.
He said, love me. I wouldn't tell you if you couldn't do it. You are your own worst enemy. It's not even Satan. He's just the tempter. He's not the make you doer. That would preach too. That's the title. Satan, the tempter, not the make you doer. Oh, we taught that already. The title's different. You don't have to sin. Subtitle, you can always be obedient. God is not crazy. These are systematically done by God. Let's walk in righteousness, y'all. Let's walk in it. Let's walk in it. We got power. Got direct. Here we got even direction. Instruction. By the grace of God, even got an example. By the grace of God, I said. And only by his grace. Father God, you've given us way much. We are filthy rich in the true riches. The greatest riches is your word. And we got it in overflowing abundance here by your grace and your mercy. Help us. You've always been helping. You know what? I'm going to change it. I asked you to help us because that's just what we say. But you already said we can boldly say you are a helper. So I say, Father, you are a helper. So we need to accept your help. Because you never stopped helping us. Amen. You never walked us. I ain't helping them no more.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Because you said you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You're with us always. So the prayer ought to be that we accept your help. Mm-hmm. That we walk in your direction and your counsel.
Yes.
And guidance. Because you're always speaking to us. But are we listening? Daily. All day. Every day. Not selective hearing. Mm-hmm. Selective amnesia. We conveniently forget things. Because we want to fulfill the lust of our flesh and the lust of our eyes. I pray that we accept your help. Meaning we hear your voice. I ask you and beg you to continue speaking, if you will. And I hope, because your slaves are listening. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.